evening for our meditation to the book of Proverbs chapter 3, specifically to three verses here that should be familiar to you. I will not be surprised if you have committed them to memory, to verses 5 to 7, where I now read for you. We find the word of God saying, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." My beloved brothers and sisters, in life, you would constantly need to make decisions. That's part of life. Every morning when you wake up, you need to make the decision as to what time to leave your house in order to arrive at your work, at your school, at your destination. If you are a student at this point in time, you wonder what you should study when it is time to apply for a place in a university. If you have already graduated from your studies, my beloved brothers and sisters, after school, you would wonder who you should marry. Should a person be this person? Should a person be that person? And what you should do about it? If you are married, after you are married, brothers and sisters, you will wonder how many children you should have. Now, this may be wrong to some of you because this should be discussed before you are even married. But I'm just taking as a normal, a common way of putting things that you think about how many children you can afford and that you should plan to have in your marriage. Now, of course, brothers and sisters, you are aware, I hope you know, that there are many, many more complicated decisions you will be called upon in your lifetime to make. Often, brothers and sisters, you make decisions realizing at the very same time that you do not know what you should do. I remember when I was not a believer, when my mother was still alive, when my father was still a businessman, how my father would come back, and whenever he came back and with problems, he would tell my mom, and my mother would very immediately, if not the first thing tomorrow morning, you will find her walking to the temple, often dragging me and my siblings along with her, and there she would pray and pray and pray that the gods that she served would help my father know what to do in regards to the difficulties he was facing and in regards to the questions, the decision that he needed to make. Well, she was exhibiting to me, even though I was just a young little boy, this matter that we needed help when we make decisions in life, even though she had gone to the wrong place. You see, brothers and sisters, the non-Christians would want to know how they should make the decision, and they would go to these temples and that temples here and there to look for people or look for a person, look for a God who would be able to guide them. Often they would even go to a medium. And to a medium, they would tell their stories and hoping that the medium would give them some guidance as to what they should do with their lives and the decision that was upon them to make. Now, brothers and sisters, I have just narrated all this to you in order to tell you that these are the common experiences of life, whether you are a Christian or not. But more so as a Christian, you ought to make decisions with this consciousness that there is a God in heaven and that you believe in him and that he will be your guide, that he is your shepherd, and that you should turn to him before you make a decision, especially an important decision that will affect the rest of your days on earth. There are three important lessons that you find in the verses that I have just called your attention to here in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. The first is this, brothers and sisters. You find here that you are called to trust in the Lord. That's what you find in verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding." The word that trust means to place your total confidence in the Lord. It means to hold the Lord to be worthy of your faith and worthy of all the secrets that you were you have committed to Him, and knowing that He is able and that He knows your situation and that He has the power to help you. That is what you find in Proverbs 22 and verse 19. If you turn to Proverbs 22 and verse 19, part of the verse is that thy trust may be in the Lord. Your confidence is in the Lord. It is in the Lord that you put your confidence in, not in your bank account, in your mom and dad, but in the Lord. Jeremiah, if you turn to Jeremiah 17 and verse 7, you are again reminded of this. You are called to trust in the Lord. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. We find here the words of the ancient prophet reminding you, my beloved brothers and sisters, that you are different from others because you belong to the Lord. And since you belong to the Lord, of course you should trust in the Lord, because the Lord is your God and He will hear you when you call upon Him. Furthermore, in His word, here it is so clearly a call of you and expected of you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. It means not to depend on your own wisdom. Lean not unto thy own understanding. It means not to think that you are wise enough, you have experience in life enough to make decision that is proper and correct. Whatever it is, whoever you are, you trust in the Lord first and above everything else. You do not even have a slightest faith in yourself as to what you can do and what you know, in your expertise, in the skills that you have acquired through your years of study in the universities, as well as through your experiences in life. Not to depend on your own wisdom. Lean not unto thy own understanding. Rather, you are commanded to trust in the Lord with all your heart. It is a picture language here, brothers and sisters. Look here, to trust the Lord with all your hearts. Full-hearted trust, brothers and sisters. There is no doubt in your heart at all when it comes to the Lord. If the Lord say it, there is no doubt at all in you that He is fully trustworthy. And that is what you learn, my brothers and sisters, when you turn to Proverbs 28. When you turn to Proverbs 28, there in verse 26, you read these words. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And tell me, brothers and sisters, how many times have you proven it in your own lives when you make decisions based solely on, without any reference to God, without any attempt to trust in the Lord, you have made a decision and it turned out to be worse than expected because you have been a fool to trust in your own lives. I remember when my two sons were young, little young boys. Brothers and sisters, one of the things that I would like to do with them when they were young was this. I would like to put them in a high cupboard. And I'll put the first one right on top there in a high cupboard. And I'll say, come, boy, come, jump, jump. Initially, he would hesitate. Initially, he was not sure. Should he jump or should he not jump? And what will happen if Papa miss me? I will fall. What will happen to me? He was not very sure of himself. And of course, he was not very sure of my ability to hold him. And so there was hesitation. And then he jumped. Because he loved his father. He trusted his father the first time. And then the second time. And subsequently, every time I would put him up there, he would jump. When I say jump, he would just jump blindly. He would jump. And it became such that every time we had a chance, he would say, Papa, Papa, can you put us on top there and make us jump? There was no longer any doubt in him that the Father will hold him. The Father will, in his ability, never allow him to fall to the ground, to break his legs or to break his head. You see here again, by experience, to trust in the Father's ability to hold him, to catch him, whenever the Father say, okay, jump, he will just jump. I think it is the same experience all the parents here would have. Maybe not from a high cupboard, maybe at the playground, maybe in your own way, in the matter of teaching your children to trust in you without any doubt at all, to trust in your ability to care for them, to provide for them. You need to learn to trust in the Lord. When the Bible says trust in the Lord, it is a call to acquire experience with God. When the Bible says trust in the Lord, it could be your first time trusting in the Lord because you have no experience. Like my son, he didn't know, should he jump or should he not jump? The father said, trust in me, jump. But should he trust or should he not trust? He never had experience before. After the first experience, after the second experience, subsequently, he became more and more confident that the father will be there and the father will be able to hold him up. You see, brothers and sisters, you need to build confidence in the Lord. You need to collect more and more experience with the Lord. Now, this may sound very strange to you, to a reformed ear. They may think that the pastor here is a charismatic teaching nonsense. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, trust is earned. Trust is experienced. You don't trust in somebody from nowhere. You learn to trust. You learn to trust your family members. You learn to trust your classmates. You learn to trust your colleagues. You learn to trust your friends. Because you have spent time with them, you have experience with them, and therefore you know whether you can trust them or not. Am I not right? They may be friends to you, they may be relatives to you, they may be your brothers and sisters, but you know not all brothers and sisters can be trusted. And that there are some brothers and sisters that you cannot trust at all because they are gamblers and because they are people who steal money. And so you must be careful whenever they are around you because you have learned not to trust them at all, but not the Lord. The Lord said, trust in the Lord. The Lord wants you to have experience with Him. The Lord wants you to build experience with Him. The Lord wants you to know that He's trustworthy. That when you trust in the Lord, you know from one experience to another, more and more, it become easier for you to trust in the Lord when you meet with all the Goliath and all the challenges of life. You need to learn who you can trust. But more importantly, my beloved brothers and sisters, from the call that is made here in the book of Proverbs, you need to trust in the Lord. I suspect, brothers and sisters, that the reason why you find it hard to trust in the Lord is because you never did. You are like my son. You have never jumped into the arm of his father. You have never responded to the call, jump, son, jump. You have never jumped. And therefore, you do not know and you have no experience in trusting God. That is why when something difficult happened in your life, when something were to be difficult and out of the ordinary, you find it so difficult to handle. You find yourself in despair. You find yourself scratching your head, not knowing what to do. And though you come to a verse like that, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, you don't know what it means. You ask yourself, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? What exactly trusting in the Lord does it mean? It means this, brothers and sisters, that you have trusted the Lord before and you have tasted the fact that He is trustworthy. Have you, brothers and sisters, trusted in the Lord? I'm not talking about something at a distance. I'm not talking about Disneyland. I know that some people will say, I believe in Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck or whatever you may have. But my brothers and sisters, they are not real. But here, though, in the Bible say, trust in the Lord. He is calling you, reminding you that God is God. And that in the challenges of life, in the changing circumstances of life, you need to trust in the Lord to hold you. To hold you, to be there for you, just like Paul on his journey to Rome, how the shipwreck and how the difficulties of ancient sea travel took so much from him, isn't it, brothers and sisters? And how he had to constantly pray and how he had to constantly trust in the Lord because the Lord had made an undertaking. The Lord said that he will be in Rome. And because of that promise, he knows that he will go to Rome. No matter how difficult, no matter how much he would suffer along the way, he will safely arrive in Rome. And that's the confidence he has in the Lord. And it came true. My beloved brothers and sisters, he did see Rome. And he did go there as God had said that he would indeed be there. So it is with you, my beloved brothers and sisters. When the Bible says, trust in the Lord, do you respond and say, yes, I will. And I will trust in the Lord. And I will gain experience of the Lord. So that when persecution were to come, when something difficult were to take place in my lives, I will not be lost and I will not be hopeless, for I have walked with the Lord. Then again, brothers and sisters, if you look carefully at Proverbs chapter 3, after the call to trust in the Lord, after the call not to lean unto thy own understanding, you find in verse 6 this command. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You are to trust in the Lord. You are to acknowledge the Lord in your life. The word acknowledge simply means to know the Lord, to be knowledgeable of the Lord. In other words, to know what the Lord says as it has been recorded in his word. Whenever you want to make a decision, you make an intelligent decision, an informed decision as a Christian. You do not make decision hastily. You do not make decision without a guiding principle. No. You acknowledge the Lord when you pray. You trust in the Lord and you make an informed decision based on what you have gathered and what you have been taught from the Word of God. And that is very important, brothers and sisters, when you think of this matter of the need for God's guidance. God doesn't guide you to sin against him. God will never guide you in such a way that they will cause you to indeed turn against him. No, he will not do that. And so the importance of knowing God, the importance of being acquainted with God, by your experience, by your knowledge of the Word of God, you acknowledge him in such a way that you tell the Lord, I'm in such a difficult situation. What should I do? You will not hear a voice from heaven speaking directly to you, but you know that you have learned something about this matter in the Bible. Your attitude and how the Lord expected you. For example, who should I marry? I'm confused. Who is the person I should marry? You will not hear the voice that say, oh, that lady's name. You will not hear of that voice that say, oh, that handsome man's name. But you know, when you read the Word of God, when you are acquainted with God, when you acknowledge him, you know that the Bible is guiding you. You will not marry a non-Christian. You will not even think about it. You will never consider it. You will not marry into a relationship that you know to be sinful in the sight of God. How come? Well, because you see, unlike other people, you acknowledge the Lord. You tell the Lord, Lord, I need to make this decision, but I want to make this informed decision based on my knowledge of your word. And please guide me. And you find the Lord would, and he will guide you. For example, if you turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 9, look at what the Bible tells you about this matter of acknowledging the presence of God in your life. In Jeremiah chapter 9, I'm going to read for you two verses. Verses 23 to 24. Jeremiah 9, 23 to 24. You find this word. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You see how wonderful it is here? He says that he understandeth and knoweth me, saith the Lord. How wonderful it is that you are such a man, such a woman, that when you want to make decision, big or small decision, that you acknowledge God. You acknowledge God in the sense that you understand what God has said in His Word. And you know exactly what is expected of you. Isn't it easier then, brothers and sisters, for you to make decision? There was a deacon, my brothers and sisters, when I was serving in America in a Chinese church. And he was out of job, as I told you before, the same story. And he was out of job for a fair period of months. And he was desperate because, you know, he has a family to feed. And being out of job would be a very heavy burden on the family. He has young children that needed to go to school and a wife who was not working at all. So he was desperate. And he was sending out, not that he was lazy, he was sending out applications for new jobs that no news at all. And then after so many months, a letter came asking for an interview. It was go to attend an interview from a cigarette company, a cigarette that manufactures cigarettes to be distributed in that region. And so he was asking himself, should I go? I really need a job. I cannot survive any longer. I need a job. But it's a cigarette company and I'm a Christian. Not only am I a Christian, I'm a deacon in this church. And so he went to the pastor and he said, Pastor, what should I do? I need a job. I need money. But then this is a struggle. What should I do? And the pastor said, you need to pray. You need to ask yourself, what does your conscience tell you? You need to read the Word of God and make an informed decision into this matter that is come before you because you are facing a temptation as to take or not to take. And after a period of a few days, before he went for the interview, he already made up his mind. He was not going to take the job. And the pastor asked him, how come he came to that decision? And he said, Pastor, after reading the Word of God, after thinking about it, God is more important. It is true I need a job. It is true. But how can I, a Christian, work in a cigarette company? Yes, the Bible never say thou shalt not smoke. Yes, the Bible never say cannot work in a cigarette company. But he said it is promoting a lifestyle that I cannot approve of. And I wouldn't want my children to grow up smoking. And that's bad for their health and Christian testimony. You see, brothers and sisters, he made an informed decision. He knows what is expected of him. And often we know what is expected of us. It is just that we are stubborn. We are unwilling to yield. We must vent our anger. We must vent our revenge. We must do something in order to show that we are in control instead of listening to the Lord. I want to point your attention to the example of David. If you turn to King David, as it is recorded for us in 1 Samuel. Look at what you are told there in 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 8. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 8. You find David here making a decision, in need of making a decision. And look at how he responded to this acknowledgement of God. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. David paused. David was not hasty. David did not trust in his power, his soldiers, his ability and cleverness. David paused, and David asked the Lord to guide him. And he waited on the Lord. If the Lord will not say, go, David will not venture a step further. David will indeed stop. And so that is an example for us too, brothers and sisters. Do not take any step forward unless you are convinced from your reading of the Bible, from godly counsel, from your church officers, you will not venture any step forward. Instead, you will pause and think until you are convinced that is what you should do and decide upon. Look at what King Solomon was told. If you turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, Look at how King Solomon was guided to make decision in 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. 28 and verse 9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Brothers and sisters, what a wonderful advice given to King Solomon. Know thou the God of thy father. In other words, know his ways. In other words, know his word. In other words, acknowledge him in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path, which is a promise of God. Do you acknowledge the Lord at all, brothers and sisters, as a way of life, as a Christian? Have you come to make the Lord the point of reference whenever you make a decision? Do you come to the Lord and spread the whole matter before the Lord before you make a decision? Are you hasty? Do you jump into something when you have not heard whether you go or not to go? You have not thought clearly about it? You have not turned to the Word of God to make a study of the matter? Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, you must, before you make a decision, you must acknowledge the Lord when you make decisions. When a Christian sees difficulties in his marriage, he must acknowledge the Lord and seek the Lord in regards to what he has said about marriage in the Word of God. You must know everything, the biblical definition of marriage and everything about marriage and the relationship between husband and wife and blood and all, everything associated with marriage. You must know everything before you make a decision in regards to the marriage. When a Christian thinks about marriage, he will acknowledge the Lord by seeking what God says about who is the person he should marry and who is the person he should not even think about marrying. And where do you find all these things? In the Word of God. And that is the importance. I want to rest upon you, impress upon you this, the importance of reading your Bible every day. To be familiar with the Bible, because you need the Bible to guide you. Because you need to acknowledge the Lord. And to acknowledge the Lord means to know the Bible, to make informed decisions based on your knowledge of the Word of God. A Christian knows the Lord, and a Christian knows his Lord by knowing his word, so that he will be guided by God's word every day that he lives in all the decisions, important or not so important decisions that he may be required to make. And so I ask you this evening, as we come to the close of this Sabbath day, my beloved brothers and sisters, I do not know you well. Are you at a point in your life where you are making important decisions? And have you been making decisions all this time with no reference to God? You have no experience in God. No experience with God. You have never heard the call of God. Trust in the Lord. Jump. You have never took the jump. You have never tested the Lord. Now you must, brothers and sisters, you must learn to have experience with God. And more as a Christian, then you will know that the Lord is worthy of your trust. That's what all the Christians of old had experienced in the time of the Protestant Reformation, when they were under severe persecution and many of them even lost their life. How come? How come they went to the place where they were executed, where they were burned at the stake? How come none of them feared to be killed? How come none of them? It is not as if they became convinced the day before. It was a lifetime, a build-up of trust in the Lord. They have experience in their common life, in their daily life. And so when a particularly difficult time came, they were ready to face the fire. They were ready to face the executioner because they have gained enough experience with God.
And that we must, in our generation, to trust in the Lord and know in our walk with the Lord that the Lord is trustworthy, to know God's word enough to let it guide us as our final authority, as our sole authority in all manner of how we live, in all the decisions we are to make. The last point that I'd like to draw your attention to is found in this verse here. If you look with me at verse 6 of Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 6, the ending of this verse says, "He shall direct thy paths." I hope that you did not miss these few words. "He shall direct thy paths." And you realized here, brothers and sisters, that you find here the promise of God. God promises you that He will guide you. Do you believe or not? Do you believe in your God? He promises you that He will guide you. Do you believe that He does guide His people? What is the point of you worshiping in a God, praying to Him, telling Him all your coming and your going, and you don't trust in His guidance? What kind of religion is that? That is definitely not the religion of Christ, because we are clearly told here, He shall direct thy paths. You realize that it can be printed in bold. It should be highlighted in green or in yellow or whatever color your highlighter may be, because it's such a comforting promise from God. He shall direct thy paths. The word there, direct, means make plain. It means to make straight. It means to make it such that you will not fall down. Isn't that a wonderful promise from the Lord, that He will guide His people such that if you trust in Him, that you walk with Him, you follow His paths, His teaching, His word, He will make sure you will not fall down in such a way that you will be damaged severely and that there will be no recovery. God promises to guide His people as they seek Him. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9, Proverbs 16 and verse 9, you read these words. "A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." His steps, no. Every step you take, you want the Lord to direct your steps. Only a person who really trusts in the Lord would want that, isn't it? Only a person who has fallen deeply in love and trust in the Lord would want that to be true. Even every step, Lord, I take every day, please, Lord, please direct my every step that I may not fall. Have you ever come to a point in your life, brothers and sisters, that you make such a prayer to God, that you want God to be involved in all your life so that you will know how to walk safely in His presence as your shepherd? Proverbs 32 and verse 8 says, Psalm 32 and verse 8 says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." I cannot but find myself highlighting this verse for my personal comfort, because whenever I meet with difficulties in life, I need to read such encouragement from God's word. And it is a promise. I will. No, I may. There is no subjective condition here, but it is here objectively given to us. I will instruct thee. I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. And if the eyes of the Lord, if the eyes of the Lord is upon you, my beloved brothers and sisters, you can be very sure no evil will come upon you, because the Lord holds you dear and holds you close to His heart. You see, a Christian reads the Word of God. A Christian seeks to be familiar with the teaching of God's Word so that he may know how to make decisions that pleases God. And I hope that that is your intention and that is what you have gathered from the sermon this evening. A Christian prays before he makes decision because he seeks the guidance of the Holy Spirit to live for the glory of God. A Christian prays and wait upon the Lord because the Christian wants to know how God will guide him, and he acknowledges the presence of God and the Word of God in the decision that he will make. I ask you again, my beloved brothers and sisters, so far in all the important decisions in your life, have you ever acknowledged the Lord? Has the Lord been involved at all in the decision-making process? Have you ever made decision because of your conviction that God must be obeyed and God must be trusted? Well, brothers and sisters, that is what this passage that I have called your attention to is calling your attention. This word should be memorized. This word should be committed to your memory so that it will remain in you. In your ups and downs, you remember to trust in the Lord. This is how you should conduct your life every day. And you should, day by day, find it easier and increasingly easier to trust in the Lord with the accumulation of experiences with God. Tell me, brothers and sisters and children, do you acknowledge Him? Do you submit to His Word by acknowledging Him? And when you make decision in life, do you make it a highest point and of necessity that you know the Lord is guiding you? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Let us stand for prayer.